Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Here Be Monsters Radio. Tonight we're going to celebrate Beltane. Welcome to a Beltane Circle on air, and we don't have a Lord tonight, but we have four really wonderful ladies. Am I right, ladies?
Sure.
Yes.
Tonight's circle is Ruth Ann Amartaseo from Air Amartaseo here on Blog Talk Radio and so many other wonderful activist movement. We have Kimberly Moore from Mother House of the Goddess online and the Hungry Goddess. And We have Nicole Tomasini, Spirit Therapy in New York City. She used to do a little piece here on Here Be Monsters. Now you can find, I guess it's every Monday still, isn't it, Nick?
Yes.
You're posting video online for Spirit Therapy, and they're really great. Hope folks will go and listen. And we're going to cast circle and bring the space down in from in between worlds. And tonight we are celebrating Beltane, the new fire ceremony of the ancient Celts, and many, many other cultures have similar ceremonies that commemorate the coming of the summer, of course, and the spring. This is a dancing, happy, garland gay ceremony that is about the joy of the sun coming home and the abundant season that is to come. Yes?
Yes.
Hello, ladies. Come on. Yes.
One of my favorites. No, I love Beltane. I really do.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a very special day for me. This year marks 25 years. There has
a quarter
been
of a century. Yes.
And it
began
on Sample Road in Pompano Beach. Kim Foster Moore can tell you that. And it has transformed and transmuted and reestablished over the years, and we are who we are. But I'm very happy to be here after 25 years of a path. That's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah.
Doing it's something amazing. Right, you know. I mean, most businesses don't stay in business that long, really.
Well, the corporation has always been there, and it's shifted. Its officers have shifted. Of course, I've always had my hand on the helm, but It's the same company that it's always been. We've always, no matter where I've lived, up in the Northeast or down here, the home port's always been here in South Florida. Actually, Pompano Beach. It's still, I think, our corporate call is still, you know, the address was originally, now they mail to wherever you are, but they still have that original Lighthouse Point, Florida address on it. Isn't that amazing?
Really? That's so cool, Gwen. Congrats.
I'm still over on the island somehow. Anyways, we have a wonderful circle, and we're going to call the elements, and then I think we're going to offer what our Beltane little traditions are and our thoughts on Beltane, and speak about the ceremony, because this is all a talkie, and offer healing out to Mama, Mother Earth, and to everyone that comes and listens, and sharing. But overall, it's about healing and also the abundance of the coming growing season. Yes?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, so I will begin by calling in the element of the East, which is the element of air. And I call on the Sliffs. They're the masters of imagination. I ask them to come from their place at the rising sun and stand with us and bring their energy and their magic to our circle, and the watchtower to be stood for us by Archangel Raphael. The Sliffs and the element of air, that's the kingdom of intelligence. I ask him to bring the kindness of intelligence to us, the spirit of community enthusiasm with communication to each other, the tones, the resonance of healing, the whispering between worlds of our ancestors, the positive messages of unity and peace all over our planet, in awakening our imagination to use it as a visualizing tool to heal people and the planet. So mote it be.
So mote it
be.
So
mote it be.
So mote it be.
So I turn and I ask Nicole to bring us the element of fire.
Fire, the watchtowers of the South, the fires that are within us, the fires that are around us, fire that is in our sun, our passion burns in fire. And now we use this fire and the new light that we have in our world to come out of the winter. And I ask one of my favorite spirit animals, the mystical phoenix, to come and join us. For within the ashes of the old, we find the new, and we are reborn with our fire and our passion. But as a fire sign, I do ask fire to help us and guide us and teach us to work with our fire and not run too fast and too hot and not run too slow and too cold, but to be with us as your blazing light. So mote it be.
So mote it be. And water. That would be Nicole.
Oh, yes. The other side of me. All right. Go, female. So, water. The element of water and the watchtowers of the West, where my river, the Hudson, is. So let's ask the Hudson to come with us here in its fast-flowing waters. And the dolphins, who always love to be in our circle, they always like to come and join us. So thank you, dolphins, for your wisdom and your intelligence and your remembering of our stories, the whales as well, our swimming library. And we ask water to flow with us, to flow and help us to go with your flow and to allow us to be in your current state, your current flow, your current being, and to connect with us within our bodies, since we have so much water within us as well, and to remember the mother of water and how important water is to all of us. Thank you, water, for joining us. And I feel like we need a somebody here. Who comes to mind in the water?
Yemaya.
Anyone?
Oh, and bring in Oshun.
Oh, yes. Yes, the ladies, Yemaya, Oshun, join us in our water, in our Beltane, and celebrating your life and your life-giving and your joyous abundance with us. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
So mote it be.
Earth, watchtowers of the North, the base on which we all live and depend, I call upon the elementals to come to teach us. Mankind has not been very good to the earth, and we're all feeling that now. We need to learn how to be good caretakers, good caregivers. I don't have exotic animals where I live. My little symbols of earth that are running around on it are bunnies and squirrels and possums and raccoons and coyotes. But, you know, even though they may not be exotic, they have a place, just as we all do on this planet. And I wish for the wisdom from them, for us, how we can live in harmony and support our earth. Just like it supports us. It supports our maple that we stick in the ground every year at this time and dance around. So it doesn't only support the animals, plants, things. It feeds us everything. So we have so many elementals attached. I just want to ask them to show us how we can be better stewards. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
So mote it be.
So mote it be.
And Ethan.
So we call upon the guardians of the watchtowers of ether, spirits of transformation and wild magic that comes with Beltane. We invoke you and call you in the name of Goddess, the sovereign of our hearts and lands. We welcome you. We ask you to assist us in moving between the worlds and achieving the balance of as above and so below. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
So mote it be. Val Purges.
So mote it be.
You know, I think that when we come to into circle like this, one of the most wonderful things we can do is talk about the small traditions we've kept and what we do on Beltane to keep us in that Beltane energy. And each of us has gifts that we share with others because, frankly, we're all ladies of service with the goddess. And I think that's a wonderful place to start. Before we do, I really want to thank you, Ra, for calling on the coyotes. That was my
They walked through my house, not through my house. They walked down my street, so I they're not in my house yet. So I'm very well aware of them, though.
That was my very first totem, and it's because my coyote, who is on my east side, is also my medicine man, who's taught me so much of the best. I really appreciate that. Yeah, my coyote, when I'm messing up, will come and sit in the room in a corner and howl.
Wow.
There's something mystical about them, I think.
I mean, it can take me 3 days before I realize it sometimes. But thank you for remembering the coyotes and the squirrels and that, because all the little folk of the forest and the land, and I know you're on the land. You're not so close to water, are you?
No, it's land. There's little streams and things not too far, but not right where I am. So
nice.
It's definitely land. So quite a few trees and things, so. Good.
I would like to ask a couple of questions about Beltane relative to each one of us. And the first question I would ask is, what are the scents, the scents that you use in any of your Beltane activities or magic or prayer? What are the scents that come to your mind? What do you work with? And I'll go directly to Earth, to you, Ra, because we can begin at Earth with that manifestation.
I don't do special ones because right now, at this point, I'm pretty much into patchouli for whatever reason, and always sage. But I don't think they don't necessarily have any meaning for Beltane particularly.
Well, they are very grounded in the Earth Mother.
Very, very grounded, yeah.
Yeah, I love the scent of a very good aged dark patchouli. It is that rich, loamy earth scent to me.
Mm-hmm.
and it puts me right there in the ground. It grounds you. It's very
does that to me. Yeah. I mean, just like a whiff, but then to actually put it on and oh yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Well,
it's funny that you. Go ahead.
Well, it's funny that you ask about scents because on my way home I smelled that. I guess it's mulch. And then the smell of fresh grass and the city kid, like those are very distinct and like only happens either like, you know, we had May Day celebrations at school, the school that I went to, we had a big May Day celebration. So like the grass and the mulch are the smells that come up for me.
Wow.
That's good. Good smells.
How about you? Did I cut you off?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, no. That's it. Yeah, go ahead, Kim.
Good, Nick. Yeah, so it's interesting because, well, before we start it, I'll just slide in a DOI plug for the Beltane spray with this. Fabuloso, and I received a gift this weekend, and I saturated myself before we came on.
You're saturated.
It's gorgeous. It is so beautiful. So for me, because, excuse me, some of this is about, you know, kind of goddesses, magic, sexy time. So, you know, the smells of like meadow sweet and even like some of the heavier cinnamons and floral scents that kind of evoke that tillity, full bloom, you know, kind of experience are things that I really associate. And interestingly, and this is all Oshun, honey and honeysuckle.
Yeah.
I know that's later summer, but I really love it right now.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe you're saying that. I'm sorry, I have to interject here because part of that mulch smell, I realized it reminded me of being, of feeling crazy for boys. Like as a teenager, just being crazy for one boy or another.
Oh, that's funny. Oh.
I love it.
It's the great ride.
Yep.
And this is when the horned god or the god comes and impregnates the goddess and then we have our season of fertility and growth. You know?
This is the season when people run out to the fields. This is it.
Literally in the air.
Very sensual sexual time. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
They've gone a maying, you know? They've all gone a maying. I love that song, Camelot, you know? The Merry Mount of May. Absolutely. I start to think of the blues. You know, really, it's not the moment for it, but when I think of Beltane and everything that it brings, I do think about gardenia, that cloying, rich.
Mm. Yeah. I like that. Mm. Yeah,
and,
I never thought about those for Beltane, but I like that smell.
There's something very psychic about the scent of a gardenia. Now, perhaps that's a personal thing.
I would agree with that.
My grandmother had them planted all around her home, and I can remember as a little girl playing in her yard in Boca. And she had a real green thumb. She had this enclosed back patio, porch, what have you, that was like walking into, you know, a priestess's herb growing room in Avalon. I mean, of course, I was a child and it's all bright in my memory, but she knew how to work with plants too. And the flower around her always, and she would have them on her table in little you know, little glass vases and things, were the gardenias. Interestingly enough, the Maya, the classic Maya, used the little blooms of gardenia in large bowls in their healing rooms.
Oh, yum. Mm.
And it's that scent of gardenia. Now, where I live now, there's only one really, and it blooms, you know, if they're old, they bloom, boom, 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 lots of them in a big bush. And there's only one in the neighborhood on the street. But when the wind is right, it comes. Mm-hmm. You know? It comes.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. What we get right now, and it's almost done for the year, is lilacs. I mean, every time the wind, you know, we get wafting lilacs. I love them.
Wow. That's awesome.
They came early this year, so they're just about done.
Look, you should go. I'll tell you a trick I learned with lilac. I had them all along my property up in upstate New York when I was going to school. And my mom, that was the only thing that would ever make her homesick for upstate New York. And I took a couple of those great big purple, beautiful cone blooms, like two of them, big, huge ones. And I put them in fresh water in a Ziploc baggie and put it in my freezer and froze it.
Oh.
And I was going home to Florida for spring break, and I put it in a cooler and kept it frozen until I got home. And I got home in the middle of the night, and I put it in the icebox, and just the icebox part of the icebox.
Oh, I bet she was thrilled.
I came out in the morning because I smelled coffee, and I found my mom sitting with the bag at the breakfast room table with big old tears in her eyes because
she
sent of her home.
Yeah.
But lilac and frankincense are traditionally, in many cultures, especially Celt, those are the scents of Beltane, you know, for ceremony. Depends on who you're looking up, but I think Paul Barrow, Scott Cunningham, a bunch of them, Ted Andrews, lots of them put it down as the scent. Of course, we know that it's all relative.
It's the season.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, they smell wonderful.
Absolutely.
We had the light violet, the dark purple, the white, all of those where I grew up. And, yeah,
they're beautiful.
One of my favorites. They are.
It's like a gardenia. It's that cloying and overpowering the scent because it just wafts through the house. It really does. We have a call-in, and I'm wondering if it could be Casey. It's an 818 area code.
No, that won't be Casey. His is 630.
Okay, then it's probably someone who's just listening in. Okay.
Yeah.
So if
they wanted to talk, they could press 1.
Oh.
Even though it doesn't tell people to anymore.
What does that do if they press 1?
Then they're on the board, it shows up like a little question mark by the number.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, actually, they're wanting to get in on it. We are doing ceremony, but are we answering the phone, Rob?
You decide because maybe at the end.
Yeah, when we close circle. Okay. So at this time right now, within our circle and between worlds and with our guidance and putting a Beltane message out there, And it, from a very personal point of view from each of the ladies in the circle, what is your Beltane message? Hello, okay. And I would begin with the East, I guess. Is that how we should do it?
Sure. Go for it.
My Beltane message, I really was putting into my invocation of the element of air. But I think overall, this is a time right now. Beltane is such a happy dance. And it makes me, when we're happy, when we're celebrating and it's joyful, we're kind. And I think overwhelmingly I would put out kindness. And kindness is intelligent, you know? Kindness pauses and thinks about it and says, wait a minute. And just simply kindness. Because that is a fire in itself. It's the fire that's banked, embered, and burns slowly but surely. So I would say kindness overall. Fire? Fire, water, is
fire. Yeah, and I would actually combine it as fire and water, because that, especially in this year of 2016 being the year of purification, it's become more and more apparent that especially in these times when our cycle is for us to have a good time and for us to release a lot of our burdens and baggages and really just enjoy ourselves no matter what the schedule, no matter what the news says. I mean, that's how I imagine we used to do it, like really enjoy ourselves. Like Ross said, you know, people would just run out to the fields and do whatever they're going to do. So free and easy. And so to manifest what we want, not only in our life, but in the world and in this year of purification, it just seems so much more important for us to enjoy ourselves and really remember what that is and let it be okay for us to have a good time. And that heals the world, because one more person that allows themselves to enjoy themselves as much as possible. You know, it's contagious, not only in time, but in people around you. So it goes along with your kindness. So that's what I would say in fire and water.
That is true. That is true. You know, it's like laughter is contagious.
Yeah.
I like that. You know, put on your costumes, put on your mask, grab someone you don't know, go out in the fields, make the fields fertile. You know, have a good time. Well, this is the old time. Yeah, hey, come on. You know.
Yeah. But
we're between worlds, right? When you're between worlds, you know, things happen. But, yeah, I would be sort of going back to my evocation of the elementals also, because I think that my message would be to honor the earth, which, you know, everything that you said, to show kindness and just be kindness, to enjoy and to honor it. It all goes together, because balance is so important to us, and there are those, you know, in quotes, who would really prefer for us not to be balanced. They want to divide us and keep us all in fear. And I would say, you know, lose the fear. Honor our planet and each other.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful world.
It is. I like that.
Yeah.
It is. How about ether? How about spirit?
Well, you know, I think that, again, I'm going to return to a little bit of that passion and transformation. Right now, working with the energies of Beltane and some of the retrograde planets, like Mars being in retrograde, is bringing us into the position and opportunity to really explore our heart's desires. What do we want? How do we make fertile our lives, our work, our, you know, relationships, all of it? And how can we come more strongly from the heart and be in alignment with that? So, you know, it's really bringing in that passion for everything we do in every moment.
Yes.
That's great, Topper. Yeah, really. Because that's
good.
The other side. Yeah.
Release and allow. And I knew we were not going to wiggle through this without talking about the planetary alignment.
It's so huge. It's like the gigantic elephant in the room. And the siren. Yeah. I'll mute you.
That's funny. That's a gigantic elephant. You know what came to my mind is this old clip of the Carol Burnett show where Tim Conway goes off script and they're on live camera and he's doing this dumb boy thing about an elephant. And it just, okay, it loses translation. But it was.
I thought you were going to talk about scooping off
funny.
After one. Yeah, okay.
And, but then again, I'm laughing. You know?
That's all you can do during these retrogrades, especially with Mars. I mean, it's funny that I'm doing fire and water together because that's exactly where Mars is, and I'm an Aries, so Mars, you know, that's where we are, fire going through water. Well, how does that work? Well, look around. It's a little confusing.
A little messy.
I gotta tell you, my little buddy, Elroy, just all of a sudden, just when we started up with this, with the laughing and stuff, he just started running back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
Oh, Elroy.
He was like, okay, what's next?
Hilarious.
He and my French elf, like, they're having a fun time. And that's what they're supposed to be doing. We are a maying here, yes?
Yeah. If we have time, I'd like to ask people for maybe one of their favorite memories of this Beltane or previous ones.
Sure, that's great. I'll go first.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say that my first Beltane memory came in the third year that I had Daughters Open, and I had made a really large purchase about 3 days before from the museum company in New York. It's where we used to get all those wonderful Egyptian statues that are, you know, the gold-leafed ones. And I made a large purchase, and, of course, I purchased a really nice large winged Isis. And I didn't expect it for at least 10 days. And on May Day, the Ups man pulled up to the front of the store, and he came in, there was this big box, and it was from the museum company. It was like, I didn't pay for any extra shipping or anything. And it came through the door, and the first thing I opened was the largest, and she's on my mantle now. It was winged Isis. And it was like, it was to me, I took her to the back and sat with her. And it was like my mother's wings wrapped around me. It was really, you know, this is who you are, where you're supposed to be. This is what you're going to do. And I knew. So Beltane, it's a special time. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, that's statue you. Is so yeah. you. When I think of you, I think of that statue. So, wow, what a memory.
Mm.
And powerful time for you.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. And it heals me. And it heals us all to remember these good things, you know? Great suggestion, Ross. How about you, Nick?
Well, I went to this really unique grade school. It was these two women, and it was very sort of English kind of education, English, UK, Britain. So we would have these May Day celebrations, and we would practice for months, and we would do it every single year, and we would set up the maypoles. And we had to learn how to weave, like, all the colors together in and out, and the dance back and forth. And so it was always very exciting, and it was a performance, and everything is, like, in spring colors, including us. And so the girls would weave the garlands, and then the boys, the older boys, would do this very special pipe dance. I don't know if you guys know. Gwen probably knows. They have porcelain pipes that they make, and they just make an X on the ground, and the two boys have to dance like in and around the pipes without breaking them. So it's very exciting, and like it's really fancy footwork. And so I just remember that every year May Day was like huge for us. So, you know, for a city girl in Philadelphia, having that experience, like spring definitely sprung thanks to those celebrations.
That's wonderful. Bummer.
That's great.
How about you, Kim?
Well, you know, what's really funny is that probably one of the largest Beltanes that I did years ago, Zachary was about four, so we're talking like 15 years ago. And what was so memorable about it is that the girls and women that were attending did this whole thing that was a surprise to me, where they wove flowers in my hair and like anointed me and then dressed me. It was a surprise. So I really went in as a priestess feeling like, you know, the May Queen goddess. It was with, you know, handmaidens. And it was really, really special, remembering that and kind of sitting there and, you know, having about, you know, 10 women hovering around you, kind of playing with your hair and decorating you, adorning me. It was really magical and special.
It was magical.
Yeah. That sounds a lot like, you know, in Beltane, at Beltane, I've attended ceremonies where hand fastings went on, and all the brides were the goddess, and they were all attended. Yeah, that's pretty special.
It is.
It is.
Yeah.
How about you, Ra?
Well, I think the first thing that comes into my mind from May Day is, like, Beltane came later. First it was May Day and May baskets as a kid. Growing up, we always did May baskets. The church, the school, the neighborhoods, we all did May baskets. One of those. But I've had a lot of really nice and fun Beltanes, and some of the best were we had, I guess it went through two groups, AHEC and then Temple on the Lake. We would do full moons and the warmer weather festivals down on Lake Michigan. And so Beltane was always the first one. And, you know, after a few years, you know, sometimes it takes me a while. I mean, because I would, you know, get there and, you know, we all know how to wiggle out of clothes and put robes on in public, right? We've all done that. And so, I mean, I would just have, like, a robe on. I'd be barefoot and nothing underneath. It got cold out there because we would do these, like, in the evening. So after, like, two or three years, I decided I would still keep some clothes on. But they were such fun rituals. And because this was people from, some people were solitaires and some were from different groups, but we got together for these things, and there was no, there was none of that divisiveness or anything that you sometimes get when different groups get together, because we were all just celebrating, and that was so nice. I love maypoles, and so much so that for years we also did the pole dance for summer solstice, because, you know, why only dance around it once a year?
Such fun.
Yeah, it's fun. And you know, Nick was talking about how, you know, that you all practiced for like months and everything was so precise and all this. Hey, ours were never like that, okay? And, you know, you've got your tall people, the tall people with the shorter ribbon, and the little kids with the long ribbon or whatever, you know. And but it was always fun. So, yeah, good memories.
Nice. Enjoy all of those things. And spring, you know, my mom did the May baskets too. I can remember.
Yeah, that was a very big thing. And I think in certain maybe ethnic areas, although, I mean, I just lived in a small town, so it wasn't that. But I think certain groups did that longer into the century than others, maybe. Because your mother did it, but you never did, right, Gwen?
Well, they stopped doing it when I was a kid. I remember because I would help her with them, you know, as much as a little girl could. But I'm going to tell you, it's surprising to know who was doing it. The group that she worked with doing it was Junior League. So.
Oh, okay.
They did it. And, they would, all the women did May baskets, and then they would, of course, take them, they would charitably distribute them. And like, the May baskets were filled with flowers and sweets and things, but also staples. There would be something like the day that they were being put out, they would put wonderful meals into them and that kind of thing.
Oh, wow. Okay. I mean, we just had little individual, you know, construction paper cones or something. Sometimes we would weave the construction paper. But popcorn was the filler. And, but you know what so many people don't realize when they think about, they don't know that all of this stuff is pagan. And it tickles me when I find out that people who went to Catholic schools and all, a lot of them did the maypole. And it's like, do they really know where this came from? It's very sexual. The
You wouldn't
traditional
find
colors fun. For the maple ribbons are red and white. You don't get much more blatant than that. And with the May baskets, it was, you know, hang the basket on the doorknob, ring the bell, and run slowly so the person could come out and catch you and kiss you. As little kids, I mean, you know, we had a lot of things like that going on, and people don't know so many traditions go back to the pagans, I mean, long before these other religions were thought of.
That's quite true.
I will just say very quickly, you know, I was in Catholic school from third grade all the way through graduating high school, but what fascinated me was every May, because that was the month for Mother Mary. So we had a beautiful carved stone statue in the courtyard of the convent, and we would do May Day celebrations to take flowers to her and sing.
Oh, wow.
It was same. Like very goddessy. You know?
It was.
Yeah.
The goddess this month. I went to parochial school too until... Oh, geez, eighth grade? Ninth. No, eighth grade. and right down here at St. A's in Deerfield. And they had a convent at the time there. There were real nuns there with habits and everything.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Real nuns.
And their mother house was in Philly, in Philadelphia. I actually reached out to their mother house recently to find out some information. And they're still there.
Yeah.
And then,
there are still nuns around.
They simply the majority of them don't wear any kind of habit anymore.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I would think, though, that they're dwindling. Like, years ago, I spent a weekend at a monastery in Iowa, and it was beautiful grounds, beautiful buildings, and they were bemoaning the fact because maybe there were 20 men left there. And
wow.
At one time, the community had over 100. So people are not going into that type of service as much as they used to, maybe.
Well, you do know that nuns have been some of the most outspoken activists in America
yes.
here in the last few years.
Yeah.
We've had nuns on the bus, on radio and stuff. So there's that. And there's also this. Most of the Catholic nuns are academics and fulfill some real leadership roles that they are not acknowledged by the Vatican with. And under the Pope before Franny, they came under Inquisition, which they are still under. I don't know, the American bishops put them under it. I don't know if you know that, but they've lost some nuns because of that. Some really, really wonderful women who represented, in my opinion, the church very well, especially the academics. So, you know,
it is a calling, but people leave for all kinds of reasons. Mary Scully, who is running independently for the U.S. president as a socialist, she years ago was in for, I think, about 2.5 years. She left because she was getting in trouble because she wouldn't use physical force on the children. And because they wanted her to discipline them.
Well,
and she wouldn't. And so she left. So people leave, even though their heart is pretty much in, like, the idea, there's different reasons why you leave. I guess just like any job, right? I mean, you get in it and you find there's things that you just can't do. And so you leave.
You know, but I would say that, you know, you mentioned the word, and I know Kim and probably Nicole, I mean, I think we're all aware that they used to talk about, well, do you have the calling? And to go into service. And I would say to each of you ladies, we all have that calling.
Yes, we know what that's like. Yeah.
We do. It is a path of life. And people...
Yeah.
We have a lot more autonomy on how we follow our path. But
that's hallelujah.
Yeah. You got that right. But, oh my gosh, we've got 7 minutes left, ladies. So I think we better bring it back to our world. And I didn't realize you guys so far. This is a time, though, also, one other thing I would say is to honor the ancient ancestors who really established this resonance, the ancient, the ritual fires, to establish a ritual fire within your heart for whatever given purpose that you choose at this time, like Ra healing the planet. I think we can all get behind that or get with that and alight with it. I would just say that before, you know, releasing the watchtowers, the elements. Anybody else have any other messages?
And the women, like the women have, I mean, yes, we're all women, and yes, we're all associated with the goddess, but the woman's story thread has come through so much in this Beltane, and Beltane wouldn't be the same if it were not for the Earth Mother and for the women energy and the ribbons and the flowers, all of these femininities. So to thank these women that have come before us as well, through the lines, not just all the way to the goddess, right? I mean, the living goddess is throughout. Maybe that's a given, but I don't always think of it that way, you know. The Joan Doe
that's
a reminder. Don't let, you know, because everything comes back to politics too. There are those now who are trying to get in power who would denigrate us and our goddesses.
Yeah.
So we need to be ever vigilant.
Nice played women cards there, ladies. I commend you. Yeah. And it's not just the respect of the woman or the lady. It's the respect for the Lord, too, the man. Because without that balance, we're up a creek without a paddle.
Yeah.
Right.
Balance.
But it is true what Ross says. Don't let anyone step on your womanhood.
Yeah.
That's a threat right now, a big one. She is correct.
I'll just slide in, Gwen, and everyone, too. Don't forget, the right of kingship, the right of sovereignty was granted by the goddess or priestess of that goddess. So especially this year, right now, the right of sovereignty to rule the land may be given by women. And that holds some pretty far-reaching magical implications. So use it.
Yes.
Nice.
There are a lot of women running for political leadership offices that are very, you know, and let's keep this all ecumenical here, but there are a lot of ladies out there running for Congress, for the House, the Senate, and, of course, the big ticket. But, you know, I wish them all well and safety and success with whatever their goals are that are good, you know, for the God.
Yes.
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 So, releasing the... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'll just briefly thank the elementals of the earth for being with us, bringing wisdom. And we ask that you continue to give us wisdom, but now we release you to go, and we say thank you. Go in peace.
So mote it be.
So mote
it be.
So mote it be.
That would go to water and fire.
Okay, I wasn't sure. So, fire, we thank you for all of the warmth that you give us, both within and without. And we thank you for all of the beautiful sunshine that we are partaking in and are about to enjoy over the next few months. And we release you and we keep you in our hearts. And we thank you, Phoenix, for coming with your example. And water, we thank you for coming through and cooling down our fiery days and for washing through and having those beautiful, just wet and misty kind of summer evenings that are so beautiful. And we thank you for teaching us about flow. And we release you into the ethers as I look at a very cloudy sky here in New York. So thank you for the Camelot. That is water. so mote it be for both of them.
So mote it be. I will quickly release the element of air, the slips, and Raphael, with 10 seconds to go, thank you. So mote it be.
Okay. I'll slide into spirit. She who guards our hearts and lands, give us laughter, fertility, and protection, and thank you for your presence this evening. So mote it be.
So mote it be. Ladies, thank you so much for joining together again to do an on-air ceremony.
Yes.
Thank you.
Bringing apologies. Yes.
Bringing blessedness. Then our best to Casey and Mike.
Yes, yes, because Mike would have loved to have been here, but maybe next time he'll be better health-wise. So thank you, everybody. You always lift me up.
Yes.
I as well.
I always feel better.
Yes.
And recovery is an issue. So I'm not an issue of half right now.
I always feel good when we get together. So
it's always nice to hear all of your voices.
Yeah.
Blessed be.
Blessed be.
Well, I guess that's it, ladies. Good night, and thank you so much. And I'll be talking to all of you soon.
Right.
Good night. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.